Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's Got It. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade.
And I just have one question for you, Emily.
What
do you feel about Golden Chicks yeast rolls?
I love Golden Chicks yeast rolls.
I know you do.
Yeah, I love them so much. I ate 3 of them just now.
We've been eating some Golden Chick here today like we do all the time because we are so happy to be partnered with Golden Chick here on The Mom Game. And we want to tell you about what they are doing to give back to the community because this is really cool. They're targeting individual schools near the specific Golden Chick restaurants and raising money to give back to those schools by giving 50 cents from every order off their new churro menu offering. This is going on now through December 29th, and 50 cents from every order is going to go back to an elementary school near that Golden Chick. So if you're going to a Golden Chick that's near you in your neighborhood and you order some churros, you're probably giving back to the school where your kids go or will go or did go or whatever. And that's something that is really cool that Golden Chick does. They do these really unique give back initiatives that support the community directly. This has already supported over 230 schools within the system-wide give back initiative. And of course, they have so many delicious things on their menu, including those lemon pepper wings and the spicy menu mainstay, those wicked wings. I can't decide which one I like the best. They are so good. Thank you so much, Golden Chick, for all of your support of us here in The Mom Game. And we look forward to having Howard Terry from Golden Chick on our show next week.
Yes, we do. And it's wicked for me. Wicked wings.
Yeah, more than the lemon pepper.
I mean, I love both of them.
They're both so good.
I like a little kick.
I do too. Lie.
Yeah.
I do too.
Okay. Welcome to episode 246. 246 of
Jeez
the Mom
Louise,
Game.
Em.
Inside the Coppola Studios. We are cheersing to 246 today. This is the Coppola Prosecco that we are sipping on. We're cheersing because we've made it to another week.
Mm-hmm.
We've made it to Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That's pretty much it. I don't know what else we're cheersing.
Because we're in the Coppola studio.
Well, yeah, it's a kind of an no-brainer.
We need some Coppola.
Yeah,
the Coppola studio.
Sure. It's only fitting. It's in our contract. We have to drink Coppola.
No, it is.
It's not.
I like this world where we just roll in and eat Golden Chick and drink Coppola and
kind of a beautiful
call it work
thing.
Or something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, but we couldn't drink last week because you had butt stuff.
That is so false.
It's stomach stuff. How's your stomach?
Well, it's not great, but
still,
last week I did not have butt stuff or stomach stuff. I told you that I was just hungover, like not hungover. I was just trying to detox from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I told you that
the
group chat had stuff going on.
Did everybody overcome?
I think so. I haven't gotten butt updates from all of my college friends lately.
Okay.
But I assume they have because usually they tell me if they haven't.
Yeah. TMI.
Yes.
Okay.
But no, we're doing well today. It is Thanksgiving week.
It is.
And we made it and the kids are out of school.
They are.
And I know, Emily, we're just cheersing because we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes. I mean, I don't have kids until Thanksgiving Day because my kids went to Graham with my stepsister to hang with her and my brother-in-law and my stepmom, and they love going to Graham. And so they're going to be in Graham until Thanksgiving when Dee Dee and Angie and Cody come this way.
Uh-huh.
And so they'll bring the kids.
What are you going to do? Are you going to party?
I don't know. Well, probably not. But what's weird is, and I texted my girlfriends this morning. I was like, so I'm kidless and I don't have any projects. Like, projects.
Oh, are you going to do some paint cans?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't really have any projects. I need to start working on the Mom Game Best Of stuff.
Yes.
For the end of your show. So that will get done. Other than that, I don't have, like, usually I have a running house list. Like, mm-hmm. since we moved in 2 years ago, I've had a list of, like, shit that needs to get done in the house. And about 2 months ago, it was finally everything was done, which not like it wasn't stuff that was all on the list. It was kind of like a revolving list that just kept going. And I'd be like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. And now I don't even have a house list in my notes, which
you
is crazy.
Come to my house?
I have seen the family concierge at your house doing some good work. I did the most insane house project, probably like the craziest I've ever been.
Okay.
So
it's got to be good, though.
It just goes to show the level of like insanity on my part. Okay. So, well, you know, we have those big acrylic wine shelves. Mm-hmm. So they are obviously very heavy. They don't move. They're not like bolted into the ground, but they don't move. They don't, you can't move them. You can't, they're literally from floor to ceiling, you know, locked in. So what had happened was there was a couple of bugs that somehow found their way under these things, and they're acrylic, so you can see through them. Mm-hmm. So like every time I would walk by them, I would see a couple of little dead bugs.
Oh, and they were like stuck in there?
Well, they're dead. Right. Yes, but they can't, right. Well, once they die, they can't get out. So, Miss Vicky and I, Miss Vicky, the first time this happened, because this is like the second or third time it's happened in the 2 years we've been there, she'll take a single piece of paper and you can kind of slide it under there and like scoot the dead bug out. I mean, they're tiny. It's
bless
a tiny little bug.
Miss Vicky.
God bless Miss Vicky.
Taking dead bugs out of your
She is. She is. Because she, and I appreciate her so much. Because she knows how crazy I am. She's like, oh, she's going to see this and we're going to have to figure out a way to get this shit out of here. So anyway, so something has happened though where the paper had got stuck.
Oh, no.
So then we pull the paper out and then there's
this
just
is
like,
when you get on the gram and like live play by play this stuff.
Then there's just a piece of paper in there because you pulled the big thing out.
Yeah.
And there's a little piece of paper.
It ate a little bit of it.
So this is so, I mean, I'm so insane. So I was trying to find something a little bit, not quite as flimsy to shove under there to try to get the thin piece of paper out. Mm-hmm. So I just started getting my 8x10 glossies, my headshots. And so I'll just show you. I'll take a picture. So
you're using your own face.
So I taped three of them together with like that clear tape. And then I coated that with, I coated the three headshots together with tape. So it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't pull off that either. So now I've got a substantial tool to work with that is three of my heads cut in half. Sliding it under these acrylic wine shelves.
Is anybody watching you?
Miss Vicky was trying to help me. So then I have this idea. I'm like,
I mean,
okay.
Someone that could laugh what if we videos.
So then she's like, I go, oh, go get me some dental floss. So I'm like, what if I tape the dental floss to the 8x10 glossies and we shove the dental floss over and we have enough dental floss to where we can take the dental floss and shimmy it under and get the paper out.
Oh, wow.
But there's places where it gets stuck. So then that didn't work. So it broke the dental floss because the dental floss is not strong enough. So finally I tell Miss Vicky, like, it's time to give up. Like, we've been sitting on this floor for over 30 minutes trying to figure this shit out. Like, just, I'm going to figure this out. So I tell Mike when he gets home from work on Thursday, I'm like, I'm going to need your strongest fishing wire, like fishing line. And he's like, what's this for? I'm like, don't ask. Don't worry about it. Just, I need it. And he's like, okay, how much? I'm like 6 feet. And he's like, okay.
Gosh.
So
it's a whole science
project. I get it into place. But then the fishing wire keeps getting stuck too. This is how, so even the strongest fishing line that can reel in like a 80-foot bass.
Yeah.
It's not, no match for these wine shelves. The first fishing line breaks. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this all in position to where when Mike gets home from work, all he has to do is like, there is like a, maybe like a half an inch wiggle room at the top.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, if he can just like shimmy, like just use that brute strength that he has, just manpower.
Yeah.
And just like give me a
waiting
little.
Waiting for your muscles, honey.
Just give me a
the
little.
The last piece of this puzzle.
Just a little wiggle room.
Uh-huh.
So finally on. So all weekend, there's like just a piece of fishing wire sticking out from this thing. Finally on Sunday, he's like, okay, what are we doing here? And I was like, okay, so I need you to be a little bit patient. He's like, I just need you to shimmy, try to. He's like, honey, this is not moving. And I'm like. So then I'm shimmying while he's pushing. And then I'm like, oh, it's moving. It's moving. It's moving. Oh my God, you're doing it, honey. You're doing it. Oh my God, this is so awesome. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And he's like, honey, this is not, I'm like, look at the progress. Like it moved. It's moving. So anyway, finally, it took him like 3 minutes and then he gave up and he was like, this isn't going to work. And I'm like, you made progress. Like, I need three more minutes out of you. Come on. Can you do it? Please. Can we do this? Please. We're so close. Like, I can taste it. So finally he's like, for fuck's sake. So he obliges and does both sides of the wine. Anyway,
I needed a video of this.
I know. I thought about it.
This is a travesty.
I thought about it, but it was just, and can I just tell you that when we got it out. So
okay,
my plan worked with the fishing wire and the little scraps of paper and the dead bug came out. And I don't know that I've ever been so happy with my husband in like many years.
Really?
Honey, we did it. I was like, we did. I knew you could do it. Like, I was so proud. I was like, this plan worked and we worked together as a team. Like,
we have such a great marriage.
Yes. Oh my God. We're doing this. Obviously, we're
amazing.
Was
he so excited too?
He was like, oh my God. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is happening in my life where this is what, like, I mean, he bought me this ring for our 15 year anniversary. Yeah. And I think probably I was more excited about getting the dead bug out from under the wine shelves.
I believe it.
And every time I would walk past him yesterday, like past the wine, I was like, it just makes me so happy. The plan worked. We worked together. It was so amazing.
So that's what your past couple days have been like.
But let me tell you how accomplished I feel. Like, because I'm most proud of myself that I like came up with a solution to this,
mm-hmm.
other than calling the makers of these wine shelves and being like, so can you come to my house? And I mean, like, we tried everything, compressed air, like, anyway, I just felt really accomplished.
Cheers to that.
Thank you. So
did you throw the bug away or did you like put it in a frame to remember pretty this, much this moment?
Ziploc baggie.
Yeah.
It was pretty much disintegrated.
Next to Mike's bed or under his pillow.
Yeah. It was pretty much disintegrated by the time it came out. Yeah. It was just a tiny little thing. Bless his heart. So yeah. So that's what's going
on
in my world.
So that's like something that has consumed you for a couple of days. And I wonder, is it something that most people like wouldn't have even noticed? Or was it like really noticeable?
So the thing is,
would I have noticed?
The first one you wouldn't have noticed. But then this is what happens with people like me.
Yeah.
Is you try to fix something and then you make it worse.
And then you have to get it
out. And then it's like, well, we don't have another choice.
Right. And then like.
And we're hosting Thanksgiving. I can't have little pieces of scrap paper underneath the wine shelves. Like.
Yeah.
Like literally, I'm already going down that road of like, okay, who can I call to, I mean, I don't know.
It's such a weird odd job.
It's not like you can crowdsource this and be like, hey, anybody got any ideas of how to, you know, it's whatever.
Get a bug out of my acrylic.
So the fact that we got it done and I did one more closet clean out before Christmas. Because I did you see that post that somebody made? They're like, you should really, if you wait till after Christmas to do the clean out of the closets, like kind of defeats the purpose. Like think how many people you could help, you know, that aren't getting toys or whatever.
Yeah.
That you could help in this season. And so I showed my kids that. I'm like, hey, I know we just did this a couple of months ago after the baseball season was over. I was like, but let's just do one more sweep, you know, and see if we can find any stuff. So we've cleaned out some games and stuff like that. So did that.
That's good.
Yeah.
I did see one where it was like put stuff in front of the tree like before Christmas, I guess, like stuff you want to give away before the tree gets filled up with presents.
Yeah.
So it's like the night before Christmas or whenever it is. But, you know, that's kind of like what they do in Canada. That's what Boxing Day is.
Oh, is it?
So Boxing Day is like the official day. It's the 26th. It's the day after Christmas. And that's when they take all their old stuff and they put in boxes. And
I always thought it meant like
there's a big match on.
Right hook, left hook, uppercut.
Family, they've made it through, and now they just beat each other up.
I never knew that that was what Boxing Day was.
Everyone wakes up the day after Christmas, and they just kick each other's ass.
Just throw down.
Yeah, no, that's what Boxing Day is.
Okay, well, yeah. That's great. So anyway, that made me feel good, too, and I'm going to drop it off at the... our church has a mission, so I'm going to drop it off at the mission.
Good job.
This week, so...
Yeah. My kids need to do that.
Yeah, it just... It, I mean, it's a win-win, right? Like, it doesn't hurt to get, I mean, because, like, some of the stuff I was like, guys, you got this for Christmas last year. You haven't even opened it. Like, it would be like a game or something. I'm like, it's time. Like, you're not, if you haven't used it in 11 months, you're not going to use it.
And then do they say, okay, or are they like, but wait, I want to use it?
A couple things. And I'm not like a huge, I'm not crazy about it where I'm like, no, we're getting rid of this. Absolutely. If you haven't used it. But no, I mean, I'll give in a little bit, but and not like with everything. Like, you can't keep everything.
Right. No, you can't. Anyway. Well, I'm very proud of you and your bug situation.
Thank you.
Good job. It's been consuming you.
It has been.
The last couple of days.
It has. Okay. We're going to get to some of our stuff on the tackle box before, because we have a guest today, Gary Linton, who
we found on social media.
Yeah.
And he's got a giant social media following. Because the things that he says are very, I think, impactful for people who have kids that play youth sports.
Yeah.
And his specialty is kind of basketball. And basketball season's starting up. I know Henry's playing.
He is.
Hattie
is also playing.
Is also playing. And Ryder's about to start. And Anna's going to play, too, her second season. So funny, though, when we were chatting with Gary, I didn't tell him this story. But I'll tell you, it's just so funny teaching kids about basketball who think that you're supposed to win all the time, or maybe they're perfectionists in their brain and think that they're supposed to like make every shot.
Oh yeah.
Like Kelly was having to explain to Anna, cause she was practicing, and she just at the end of last season started making shots at all. Like, we did a whole season of 5-year-old girl basketball where no one really could make a bucket cause they were too tiny. And then she figured out how to make it right at the end. And so we got the ball out and we were like, okay, let's see if you can still do it. And trying to explain that, like, you don't make it every time. Like, and I like the way Kelly put it. He's like, the best basketball players in the world shoot 50%.
Yeah.
So like half of the shots that you make are going to go in. And that's one of the best basketball players in the world. It, like, her mind was like blown. She's kind of like, well, why the crap am I doing this? Like, if I'm supposed to miss it all the time? Like, it's a weird concept to explain to little kids. Like, you're not always going to make a basketball. It's a difficult task. Right.
That's why baseball.
But it's the whole point of the game.
Right. But that's why baseball. They're like, oh, yeah, you get 3 hits out of every 10, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Like, those are the best players hit 300, right? Yeah. Like, but no, you're not even going to come close.
And like, why are we doing all this other stuff?
Right.
It's interesting. But yeah, so basketball starting up, I think, I do enjoy that game for our kids. And I like that it's all inside.
Yeah. We're done with outside sports.
Done with outside sports.
For a minute. Okay, speaking of sports, let's get into a little sports sportsiness brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Are you tired of wearing glasses? I know I was. I know Julie was. For me, it was custom lens replacement from Tylock George, one of the many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. You can see your world clearly from both long distance and up close. No more readers, no more glasses, no more contacts. Custom lens replacement from Tylock is life-changing. I can attest to that. Plenty of options out there for you. Julie went with the LASIK. That's what the young kids are getting these days. For the oldies like
us. Meaning like 40-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah. For the oldies, it's the contact lens replacement. They've got financing options for those who qualify. You can schedule a free consultation at tylock.com/TMG. If you call them, just mention the Mom Game for a special discount. But those free consultations, definitely get those scheduled to see what the best option is for you.
Yeah.
Super grateful for their partnership and grateful for them to them for helping make our lives.
Definitely.
And not even a little better, a lot better.
It's crazy how many people I see in day-to-day life that have like vision problems and just live with it because they think that they have to.
Yeah.
And
I thought I did.
I thought I would, like, more of a financial, like, I can't afford it. But like, they have the free... what was it, 24 months interest-free financing?
Yeah.
And then you were living with it because you didn't even know that there was something available.
No, I thought, because I had had LASIK 17 years ago, and right. I was like, well, it ran its course. It was great while it lasted, but now it's over.
So don't be like us. The point is just pick up the phone, call them, say you have this or that going on. You heard about it on the Mom Game. They'll tell you how that they can help. And we do have that exclusive code as well to go online, tylock.com/TMG.
Yay. Okay. We'll hit the sports scores pretty quick today. Cowboys.
They won.
And it was an entertaining game. Yeah. After my wine shelf bug incident project, I basically just watched it from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I
the end, though.
I'm glad that I did, because the fourth quarter was bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half was such a snooze fest. I think it was like 3-3 at halftime. But at least you're like, this is what, as a Cowboys fan, this is what I've been wanting. Like, please just.
And this is against Washington, a team that is, they were 7-3. Like, they're having a good season, although they lost
improved.
A couple heading in.
Right. Dan Quinn, the former DC for the Cowboys, now the head coach in Washington, also interested because Cliff Kingsbury is a friend of mine and Cliff is the offensive coordinator. There's already chatter that, like, will Jerry hire Cliff Kingsbury or Bill Belichick or Deion Sanders or whatever? But Cliff's kind of been linked to those rumors or whatever. So anytime I have a connection like that, like, you know, even if it's like a random game, I always try to, like, I like to watch the Lions because I like Dan Campbell because I covered him for a little bit. I like the Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes and he went to Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's good to have a connection.
You just find a reason worth
rooting. Did Cliff get a lot of, like, FaceTime on the broadcast?
He didn't get a ton. He got some for sure. But I don't think he got a ton. He didn't their offense didn't have a terribly great game. Yeah. But anyway, he's done good things with that offense. So is Dan Quinn. I mean, just with the team as a whole. I mean, they were a laughing stock for a long time. And
yeah.
It seems like they're headed
really
in the right direction.
The two and two together. That was him. That was having a good season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the fourth quarter was bananas.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely bananas.
I saw
and
the
so
I saw
fun
all
and
that.
So entertaining. And you and I've become so apathetic, sadly, to the Cowboys lately that I just kind of really don't even say anything. But like when something happened and the Cowboys went up and it was like, yes. And then like literally 10 seconds later, the Commanders could have tied it up. And I was like, no, like screaming.
They scored easily.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And then they missed the extra point.
And then they missed the extra point.
Right.
And then the Cowboys
got the onside kick.
Got the onside kick and ran it back for a touchdown when they didn't have to, but they did it anyways.
Mm. Which also could have been, detrimental because they could have given them the ball back with too much time.
So that was kind of silly.
It was, but that dude, who was it who got the...
It was... Like,
I forget.
It was. But I read
a quote where he was like, "Dude, all I seen was end zone, and I was going like." And I'm like, "I don't blame you." Like,
all I seen was end zone.
I mean, if you're not like an offensive player, you don't score a lot of touchdowns. If you have like nothing but wide open space in front of you, and you can see that end
probably
zone,
like his career peak right there.
Yes,
like I don't care if it didn't make.
I know,
sense.
And I know people are like, "That's not a smart play," and it's like, okay, well, all's well that ends well. And
right.
It was. I mean,
and thank goodness the kicker missed the extra point. Like, what are the odds? That was insane.
Special teams was just off the charts insanity.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I want to give a shout out to
please do.
Not a paid partnership, but Urban Air is trampoline park.
Yeah.
Is where I was during the Cowboy game.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first Cowboy game where I actually like had a like, oh my God, I just scheduled all this stuff and didn't even realize it was during the Cowboy game. Like, I'm usually trying to be cognizant of it. And I think because they had been so bad, it wasn't on my radar. And so we went skating in the morning and missed like a bunch of it. And then I took Ryder to Urban Air Trampoline Park for a birthday party and was talking to a bunch of the parents. Shout out to them because they had the Cowboy game on in all the party rooms. And so I got to watch the end of the game and like see all the crazy parents' reaction. I feel like that's all I needed to see. I kind of feel like I was winning.
Oh, 100%.
By not sitting
investing
and watching the whole
day,
game and like going on with my life and then like happening into the end of the game, which was the very best part.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it's done.
Yes.
But I think every kid play place should have NFL games on
Sundays.
Oh,
100%.
Right?
Yeah, and booze.
And booze.
Like, we had two volleyball games Saturday, like, with an hour and a half in between.
Uh-huh.
And they have, at Game On, they have outside, they have, like, a food truck where you can order pizza, and then they have, like, a bar.
Nice.
And you like sit outside on the patio, and then they have the games up too.
That's perfect.
So between I had to go
TVs
home
and booze,
TVs and
everywhere.
Booze.
I mean,
especially if you're gonna have youth sports stuff on Saturdays and Sundays. Definitely.
And you've started the phase where like they'll have like games where you have to wait in between, like hours in between and stuff. And do you usually stay in the same spot?
Well, it just depends. Like if it's a bigger gap, like if there's more than a 1 hour, 2 hour gap, then you'll leave and maybe go to a restaurant or something. But like same things, yeah. Like, you know, like when I think about Henry's baseball tournaments, like it, sometimes it's like you play at 11 and at 4 and it's like, what the fuck? I mean.
Isn't it just like kind of BS that they assume the parents are like, yeah, sure, we'll do 11 and 4. Like they just
because
assume.
They do.
I know.
They do.
Kind of rude.
Just wait.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll be doing baseball tournaments. Maybe.
Yeah. Never know.
Never know. Never know.
So anyway, the Cowboys are what, 4-7?
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I have a little bit of a problem. I don't know. Listening to the radio and people like kind of now being saying all these like complimentary things about how hard they fought and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, everyone was just dumping on them like a few days ago. The guy missed an extra point. Like, it would have been over. Like, I don't know. The media is just, and I guess there's like some weird slim chance where they could still make something of their season.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I want is to see Trey Lance. That's all I want. I want Trey Lance to play a whole game.
Okay.
I thought it might have been yesterday, but then
I tell you that he got in for two plays yesterday and neither of them went well.
Yes, that's never going to be like, that's terrible.
You are, what?
That is a terrible sample size.
You and Trey Lance, what? There's something going on there.
There's like, nothing going on there.
You have you're going to ride this Trey Lance horse as long as you can.
Well, now it's just like kind of my bit.
Your
bit. Now it's kind of funny. But you can't just give someone a couple plays in an NFL game when he's never started and played like a full NFL game. Be like, did you see he threw an interception? It's like, no, like you need to give somebody a full game. Like you've got to let them make mistakes. And, you know, if it was your kid, you'd say that.
Okay. But can I just be devil's advocate here? So they're still trying to win these games. Yeah. They've seen Trey Lance for what, 3 years now?
But not really much game time. You could look at preseason. Preseason's weird.
I'm talking about practice and preseason. That's all you have to judge Cooper Rush. If you're the backup of or the third string, you're not. You don't get the same chances as Dak Prescott.
I know. That's why I thought this was like kind of.
But that
the way it was unfolding was the perfect opportunity where he could actually get some real good playing time.
Should tell
Otherwise,
you,
I wouldn't be talking about Trey Lance anymore, honestly.
But that should tell
like,
you.
Like, if Dak wasn't hurt, I wouldn't be talking about it.
But that should tell you how not good he is.
Well,
he hasn't
been given the full opportunity. He needs more time.
Oh, my God.
In a game. In a game. You got to make a mistake and then get back on your feet and learn from it and get better from it.
Well,
don't just make a mistake and say, go back to your corner and everyone's going to tell you how much you suck and we're never going to give you another shot again.
Right. But you don't play two quarterbacks.
Then why did we bring him over here? Like it was the dumbest thing ever then.
Right. Well, 100% agree.
But he was like so highly touted and he obviously, first round pick? Like first overall pick? What? First overall, second overall. It was like, I think first or second overall pick. Like out of college.
Yeah.
So there's something there. And that's why I'm like, this doesn't just, you don't just fall off. Like you don't just, you're not just that good and then you suck. Like,
have you seen some of the number one picks?
Yes.
In NFL draft?
Yes. But also the surroundings can play a large part in people's careers. And I don't know.
I just love, I mean, you are.
Trey Lance, if you're listening, I am your only fan.
I mean, I've never seen someone advocate.
I was trying to get like 9-year-olds on my side yesterday when we were at Brahms. I just referenced Brahms because I was there yesterday. We were talking about the Cowboys and I was telling, they were like, oh, do you like Trey Lance? Like thinking I'm this like expert. And I was like, yeah.
He's so good.
I was like,
he just hasn't got a chance.
Like, he's going to break out soon. And I'm not giving up on him.
Okay. Well, listen.
Somebody with.
You know what, Julie?
That much potential. I don't know. Just imagine his head right now. I think that's it. I'm just trying to think. Like,
I know. Listen, if Trey Lance ever hits, you're the biggest winner in the whole thing.
That's what I'm banking on.
That's
I'm going to win nothing, but
mark
I will win.
The tape.
Yes.
She will be able to pound her chest and be like, I fucking told you guys, don't Trey Lance was really good. Mm-hmm. I just love that you're not backing down from it. I love your commitment to Trey Lance. I love it.
Right?
Trey?
I need something to like try and pull for in this season.
Watching. Okay. All right.
Let me flip this off and send it to him. Believe in you.
Somebody get this to Trey.
I believe in you.
I
don't give up.
Okay.
Don't listen to the haters. Yep. Emily's a hater.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying I feel like there's probably a reason. They also don't want to put him out there in this and have him get his teeth kicked in. Maybe they're trying to shield his, you know, confidence and stuff. I don't know. I'm just saying, if they thought he could give them a chance to win, don't you think at this point they're willing to do whatever?
I know. I mean, Cooper Rush hadn't been anything special, but he won yesterday, so now he's going to get more.
He was good yesterday. He was solid yesterday. Yeah. He wasn't like outstanding. I mean, he was a good backup quarterback yesterday.
Right.
In my opinion. Okay. Stars and Mavs. What's happening? I haven't really paid attention.
The Mavs, I know they won a couple in a row and they were doing a little bit better, but yeah, I still haven't found them on the TV.
It's early. Yeah, I haven't either.
You know, it's kind of sad.
I don't think I've watched a single game.
I
watched a TNT game or a national game. I don't know.
I don't like all the change and all the thing. Like,
I know it's going to take a while. I think it's going to have to be way later in the season. I'm going to have to be done with maybe like football and
anything
other things
that
distracting
makes, like,
me.
It makes you take that extra effort to be like, where, what, what? When,
I know.
Where?
And it's going to have, you're just, everybody's going to
get
in a
we'll
routine.
Get there.
You'll get, yeah, we'll all get there. But
we'll get
yeah.
there.
And what about Stars? How are the Stars doing?
They're doing well. They're, let's see. I think that they won against Tampa Bay, which is a huge win because Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that we don't like very much and that are always really good.
Okay.
And they're doing good. They're doing well. I'm going to go in a week or two, I think.
And
I think they're, what are they, third, second in the Central Division. So they're right in it, but they've slipped a little bit. I want to say they're right behind Minnesota now. So they need to probably get on a good little win streak here to kind of try to climb up to where they want to be in the division.
Okay. Are there any like breaks or anything? Don't they? Hockey, I feel
they'll
like
have an all-star break in February.
All-star, okay. But no like Winter Classic?
Yeah, there will be a Winter Classic, but it'll just be a couple days.
What am I thinking of?
All-star break is the break. Olympic break every 4 years, you know.
But that's not.
And then we, of course, had like the bubble and COVID and all that, which was
I felt like there was a, I don't know. I felt like there was some, maybe it was Olympic break, what I was thinking of. But that was how many ever years? It was a long time ago.
Would have been a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did the Winter Olympics?
Break? Well, 26. The summer ones just happened, so it would have been 2 years before that.
26. So 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2 years ago before that.
Welcome to 2024,
but the big news,
Emily,
for Stars fans that they might be interested in is the fact that, so Jim Montgomery was our head coach that got fired a few seasons ago before they brought in Rick Bonus, who ended up staying as the interim coach. Jim Montgomery went and coached in Boston, and Boston had a wonderful season last year. They had like the best record in the league all season long, and then they lost in the playoffs earlier than anybody would have hoped, and then they didn't get off to a great start this year. Fired Jim Montgomery. He was the Stars coach for a while. Who we knew,
Monty.
Monty, yes. So he just got fired like this past week and then got rehired in St. Louis.
Why did he get fired?
Because they just weren't having a great
start. Dude, hockey fires people so fucking quick.
That's what Kelly and I have been talking about. Like, just even look at him. And yeah, it's crazy. Like, they had the best record in the whole NHL last season. Like, for the President's Trophy, for the whole season, they were amazing. They were the team to beat, and he had them going in the right direction just because they didn't, you know, win a cup or whatever. And then this season, I guess because they didn't win a cup, he was already like on a hot seat and then gets fired. But he got rehired in St. Louis. They fired their coach and they hired him. So now Jim Montgomery is in St. Louis, which is where he went right after he got fired in Dallas. But it's where his wife is from. So I was like, oh, she's got to be happy to be back home. So that was like a big coaching carousel news that Stars fans might find interesting that just happened.
That's great.
I really did like him. I really like him and his family. So
yeah. Well, it was good luck to them.
It was like, oh, he's fired. Oh, he's hired. That's just how it goes in the NHL.
I guess so. So weird.
Yeah. We're not doing it anymore.
Okay. Let's get into a little what's on your feed. Brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, thank you, Audrey Dolan's Media, for all of your help. If you've been staying tuned at all to our social feeds, which I hope you are, because we're doing some cool stuff on there. Audrey Dolan's Media has us looking really nice on there. Everything's nice and tight and tidy. And she can do that for you. If you've started a business, if you're a parent, if you're busy, if you're not, it doesn't matter. Basically, they can kind of do all of your social media, all of your marketing, so you can focus on what it is that you need to do to help your business grow. And they're awesome. They communicate very well. We've been having calls with them, and they've been kind of just making us look more legit. Don't we all want to look more legit? Audrey Dolan's Media, she started this business because she saw the growing digital media space and social media and influencers and so many people needing help in this space, because you kind of have to do it. If you're a big company, you have to have a social media presence, and you might not have the training. You might not know what to do. So Audrey Dolan's Media is there for you. They can help you out and kind of do all the dirty work so you don't have to worry about it. AudreyDollins.com, if that is something that your company or business could use.
Yay, Audrey Dolan's Media. Okay, you brought this up last week and we didn't get to it. Sleeping positions.
Yes.
Okay, do tell.
Well, I saw an article about it, and it was kind of about which sleeping positions are the most popular and how they can affect your health.
Okay.
And it just made me think a little bit about my sleeping positions, and I wonder like what yours are, and I wonder what people's are.
Don't they say like you should sleep like on your back?
Well, so this article says most people sleep on their side. It's the most common sleeping position. More than 60% of adults sleep on their side.
I just think they say like
They say because of your airwaves or your airways and all of that for to sleep on your back.
Right. I don't know. I just thought I just remember hearing at some point that like sleeping on your back face up is like the most beneficial way to sleep.
How do you sleep?
So I sleep on my side, but I sleep on my left side mostly because Mike is on my right side and sometimes he snores. And so I go away from that. But that resulted in this weird wrinkle that I had to get like lasered.
And so because I'm sleeping on your side.
Because you sleep on the side of your face. So now I try to be conscious enough. So I'll sleep on my right side and then I'll like scoot the pillow over to like create a little bit of a wall just in case.
Okay, I have that too.
A little wall.
Yeah, Kelly calls it the Julie wall.
The Julie wall. Yeah. And it's mostly because like, I mean, I don't need anybody's breath in my face. I don't need any, I mean, what, snoring or not. Like it just, everybody needs, I think it's weird that we all sleep together, honestly, in the same bed every night for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that won't happen forever. I mean, my grandparents, both sides, like didn't sleep together. Oh no, actually my grandparents on my dad's side did. My grandparents on my mom's side, like I don't ever remember them sleeping in the same room.
Really?
They slept in different beds. I mean, I'm not there by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm also too like we don't need to touch.
You think people still cuddle done. Like when they're
We used to and I'd be like, I want to get my spot. I would call it my spot, and Mike would put his arm out and I would
to do this like, exact same thing.
Now it's just like I'm hot.
Is that because we're just getting older?
Yeah, 100%.
It's so hard. It's been so hard lately to get comfortable.
Yeah.
Like when sleeping.
Right. And I don't, and even
and
when
a human
like,
makes it so much harder.
So much harder. And sometimes I'll be like if he's trying to be sweet and like wanting to touch or whatever, I'll just be like, let him touch for a minute. And I'll be like, okay. Okay. That's good. And he does the same thing to me. Like if I'll like in the morning or something, I'll like, you know, roll over and put like, first of all, he knows like you don't fucking put your feet anywhere near me.
If you don't want his feet anywhere near.
If his toenail touches me, if a toenail touches me, I will lose my shit in a way that is completely unhealthy and irrational.
You're very anti-feet?
I do not need to feel anyone's toenails ever in my entire life, ever. Oh. There is never a reason why I should feel anyone's toenails, ever.
Okay.
It's very important that you know this. Like, my kids know.
It's not the feet, it's the toenail.
It's not the feet. It is, you know, and because Michael sometimes be like, and like rub me with, like try to rub me with his toes. And I'm like, he's like, I don't have any toenail. Like I trim my toenail. Like I cut my toenails. Like it's fine. I'm like, it's not fine. I know they're there. I know they're there. I don't care how short they are. They're there.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that you could clip me with one of them and it will send me into a complete state of Okay. Irrational panic.
All right, we're going to add this to the list.
So many things.
Weird Emily things.
How long is that list now? Yeah.
It's getting very long.
I mean, do you welcome toenail interaction?
I don't invite them, but like, I don't freak out at them.
If I put my foot under the desk.
When your kids were little, did you get scared of their toenails?
No, but now they're grown-ass people with their grown-ass toenails. I don't need those things. If I leaned under this desk and scraped you with my toenails on your leg, what would you do?
I'd like purr.
You're so full of shit. You wouldn't purr. If you do that to me, I swear to God, I would pick this bottle up and I would crash it over your head. I would. I would do something really... I shouldn't tell people that because that's like, it's like what they tell you not to tell people, the things that really drive you crazy.
Like there's strangers coming up to you
with toenails. That's why when people, like when I've gotten those random requests for like, send me your feet pics and your sweaty shoes. You? I'm like, what? How would you be into toes?
I don't know.
Toenails.
I don't know, man.
Because toenails are on toes. What? What did you ask me?
Do your toenails bother you?
No.
Oh.
My toenails are fine.
Oh.
But I'm not putting them on anyone. I'm also not. I get a pedicure every like 3 weeks for a reason.
Ooh, just 3 weeks?
Shut up. My hair doesn't. My hair.
My toenails are fine. It's everybody else.
No, it's not. You could have the most beautiful toenails in the world. Yeah. I just don't want them touching me.
Okay.
It has not. I'm not being a toenail discriminatist. I don't want anybody's toenails. Okay. Your toenails could look beautiful.
What about toenail clippings? Like
no, stop. What are we doing, Julie?
I'm not doing it. I'm asking you what you
and
think
I'm
about
telling
it.
You what I think
that's,
about it.
That is sometimes a husband crime.
That is well, that's why that takes place outside.
Oh.
Yes.
Out to the backyard.
It's a patio job. Damn straight.
Really?
We're not seeing it.
You
shit.
Banish everybody to the patio.
They do it willingly. They know they don't want to deal with me. Just outside in the back porch.
What about shaving in the sink?
Shaving in the sink, like
their face.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just get your shit down the drain.
Do they ever miss any hairs? Does Mike ever miss any hairs?
Well, I mean, like miss getting hairs down the drain?
Yeah.
No. He knows better. Gonna make a silly mistake like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, there's plenty of other things he's doing that are weird. This is one thing.
Can you clip your dog's toenails?
Okay, we just did this.
Okay.
We just did this over on Sunday after the dental floss or the fishing wire under the acrylic sink or the acrylic.
Girl, you know how to party.
I mean, I am tearing shit up on the weekends. Yeah, we just for the first time because we had one of those shaver things. It's like zzz, and it like files it down. Mm-hmm. That shit doesn't work. It takes too long. So it was a two-man job, but I conceded that we were going to have to do it in the house because Izzy would freak. And so we did it. It was a two-man job. We did it together. And then I made sure I counted how many toenails we cut and that I collected all of them and put them in a pile.
Oh, because they would have all been clean cut. So 10 and 10, like 10 and 10.
Yeah. I think do they have 10? I think it was just 4. Isn't it? Dog paws? Or is there 5? Because isn't the 5th one like all the way up here? I don't know.
That's a really good question.
I think there's only, if not, I'm missing 4 toenails that I need to go for dog clippings.
They're floating around your house.
Okay. How many toes does a dog have? Okay. Well, so anyways, back to sleeping position. So yes, I think it's most beneficial. Now that I have my hoot job, I can't really sleep on my stomach.
5 toes on their front paws and 4 toes on their back paws.
So I'm missing 2 toes.
There's dog toenails in your house. Oh,
housekeepers
no.
Housekeepers came today, so they probably got them.
Okay, mm-hmm. I sure hope so. Mm-hmm. I sure hope so.
I'll double check just in case.
They're going to be haunting you in the night. Yes, so back to sleeping positions.
Back to sleeping positions.
Yeah, slides. Side sleeping. I don't know. I just can't figure it out. We got that new mattress from the fair and
how's it working out?
It has helped. I think it's helped, but like I still just do all the things. I do side, I do back,
because I feel like I move around.
I'll even do stomach a little bit.
I can't. Yeah, you can with your boobs.
It doesn't feel great.
It doesn't. It for a minute it will, and then it's like, oh, my back hurts. Everything hurts.
Yeah.
But my question is, do you feel like you can control this? Because like I can, I feel like I'm going to sleep on my right side, mm-hmm. so I don't get another wrinkle over here, mm-hmm. purposely. And then by the time I wake up, I'll be on the other side. Like I think I flip around in my sleep. So
yeah, same.
It's like, what do you do?
I know. It's hard. Sleep. Why is sleeping so hard as you get older?
It is hard. Well, you know what helps
with that? The cons of side sleeping.
You know what helps with that?
It can lead to wrinkles. It says right here.
I know. Yes. And it. You know what helps with sleep? Hard sleeping? I'll tell you right after you tell me about TMG happenings.
Oh, yeah. TMG happenings. And then you've got something for us.
Yep.
But it is Thanksgiving week, and we're all probably going to sit at a table full of a lot of food. And we're very lucky to be doing that. And not everybody is as lucky. 1 in 5 North Texas children actually are facing hunger. That's more than 286,000 kids. And that's why we like to support the North Texas Food Bank here on The Mom Game. And right now, thanks to the Beaumont Foundation of America and Salmons Enterprises, you can make double the difference for your neighbors. Your gift, if you do decide to donate, will go 2 times as far. Every dollar provides access to 6 nourishing meals. This is happening from November 1st to November 31st. They have a goal of 50 million meals, and they're just kind of trying to spread the word that you might not realize that there's people in your community that are actually hungry and that are in need of some help when it comes to receiving some food this holiday season. It could be the person in the checkout line behind you. It could be somebody that goes to school with your kids. It could be anybody. And we invite you to help here on The Mom Game. If you do want to help, we do have a special link, I believe.
Yeah, we do. It's ntfb.org/themomgame.
There it is. Yep, ntfb.org/themomgame to help us help those who need it the most this holiday season.
Yes, go and give them a nice donation to help with others. Okay, I was just saying something that helps with sleep mm-hmm. sleep being so hard, is our little early bird CBD gummies. And we have really good news because they're Black Friday Cyber Monday event is starting already, has already started, I guess, and will run through Monday, December 2nd. So it includes Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all the good things, a full week to take full advantage of all of the goodness of early bird CBD. So you can get $25 off orders over $100, $60 off orders over $200, and $100 off orders of $300. So you have the code, and it is BFCM 100 200 300. So all the details are on their website, but basically those are the three things that you need to know, is that you can get 25 off of 100, 60 off 200, 100 off 300. This is a huge sale, their biggest sale of the year, and it is a good time to stock up, to get some stocking stuffers for those people in your life
yeah.
who do have trouble.
It's gonna be a slam dunk.
Turning that brain off and keeping things chill, especially, like I said, for me, it is huge for the sleep side of things. There are holiday combos available on the website, which bundle some of their best packages. So again, just go to earlybirdcbd.com. It has all the details there that you need. It'll give you all the codes, tell you about all the deals, all the bundles, all that stuff. Basically, the more you spend, the more you save. Every single detail is on that website. So stock up now for the holidays. Those 4 packs, I will say, make a great gift for friends, family, colleagues, stocking stuffers for the adults in your life, of course. So head on over to earlybirdcbd.com. Remember to tell them that The Mom Game sent you. And speaking of The Mom Game sending you somewhere, we're not sending anybody anywhere. Fucking A. We have a guest. And I'm trying to transition to it, and it's not working very well. So thank you to Early Bird CBD for presenting our special guest here today. And dismount.
And we are so excited now to be joined by somebody that I've been excited about having on the show now for a while. And I feel like the timing couldn't have worked out any better, because it is basketball season now, and youth yeah. basketball is just getting underway here during the holidays. Gary Linton, thank you so much for joining us here on The Mom Game. Just so excited to learn about you, your journey to how you got to where you are, and talk about kids and basketball and all the things.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I was hoping that we could get there in Dallas and in the studio live, but didn't work out that way. But I'm glad we actually got to get it going.
Yeah, we'll be here.
You're always welcome anytime you make it this way. But give us a little bit about your background, kind of the role you're serving in now and what has
Sure.
led up to this.
So really, I was a basketball player who had basketball dreams, and they was kind of faded, and ultimately it became about my kids. And initially, I was the dad that just didn't want to be involved with the coaching part of it. But ultimately, what I think happened is once I sat back and kind of watched a couple practices, I'm like, okay, wait, what are we doing here? That was the kind of kickoff to everything. So from that point on, I took coaching as a job, and it was really never coaching that I did. It was more like skills training and things like that that I always did in practices. It was never X's and O's. So I guess I could say I was never really a coach. I was just somebody who wanted to get the kids better. So that's kind of where everything kicked off, and here I am now.
And you have a daughter that plays, correct?
I do.
D1.
And actually, we caught it as a good time because they have a tournament in Puerto Rico, and we leave for Puerto Rico tomorrow.
Oh,
So,
wow.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, tell us
yeah.
the age of your kids, the
So
ages.
I have, as long as you don't judge me, we'll be okay.
No judgment here. Judgment-free
So
zone, bud.
my oldest is 27, graduated from Ohio State. My middle is my princess. She is 21. She's a senior at Kent State, Ohio. And my youngest is my social media marketing genius, who just graduated high school and is doing community college in his fall semester.
Okay,
And
cool.
he's 18, so.
Great. So that's a good transition because the social media and the marketing is how we found you. Because I saw a couple of your clips on Instagram, and you know how Instagram goes. You watch one, you watch another, and then Instagram feeds you everything. And I
Of
kept,
course.
and you see so many things on there, but yours really stood out to me because the things that you're saying in your social media account and your business where you're helping parents and kids with their basketball journeys, they really align with a lot of things we talk about here on the Mom Game and kind of the way that we see youth sports, but we have a little bit of a different perspective because we've both worked in professional sports for our careers. And then we have kids that are now playing sports. And so we've seen both sides of it. But I know that a lot of kind of what you talk about on your clips and your posts is that maybe people are all taking this stuff way too seriously. And you have some thoughts on club basketball and all that, which is really just kind of
Of
what we want to
course.
get into with you today.
No, so fortunately I've been blessed to, between the three kids, they've played almost every sport imaginable. So I've seen the sidelines at baseball, the sidelines at soccer, the sidelines at basketball. But not only that, I've been able to, I guess, see it from a parent's perspective because I was that parent on the sideline. I've been able to see it from the coach's perspective. But then I've even taken it further because I've used to run an AAU basketball club. So I've seen it from the director's perspective. I've seen it from, an owner's perspective. So there's so many different hats that I've worn over the years that I get an appreciation. I have an appreciation for all of those different roles, I guess, if you want to call it that.
And so what are some of the common things that I guess you're seeing that maybe parents are doing that parents are doing wrong, that parents
Wow, we're just going to jump right in there,
Oh, heck yeah, we are. That's what we're all about here on this show.
So, I think that unfortunately we're in a very, very tough place. I think that youth basketball, or not even youth basketball, youth sports in general, obviously it's a big business per se, but from a parenting perspective, everybody sees it as a ticket to school. I won't say everybody, many receive it, see it as a ticket to school, which it can be. But I think in that, I think there's a lot of pressures that we don't really understand or we don't really take into consideration when dealing with our kids. So I think that there's just some education that needs to go along with that. And I think that's where I've kind of focused my time and just kind of giving that education from all of those roles and all of those perspectives.
And so I guess what's your, so I got a little small example, my kids, I've got 2, 13 and 11, two kids, 13, ages 13 and 11. I don't have three because that's not advisable for someone like me. But so we were at we had a volleyball game. My daughter had a couple volleyball games this weekend. And like the intensity of the coach that we played was so off the charts that it made the girls uncomfortable. Like that, not maybe not their own because they're used to it, but like, you know, I remember Hattie being like, I mean, that guy was so aggressive. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it's just, it happens. So, you know, it's not just parents, it's coaches too.
And absolutely.
And doesn't it have to, you know, I remember one time at, you know, one of my son's tournaments and the coach is telling the parents of his own team, like, keep your mouth shut. Like, it's enough. Mm-hmm. We got it. And so there has to be that relationship and that mutual respect between coaches and parents. But it is kind of on the coach, isn't it, to set the tone? I know as I coach my daughter's softball team, I'm much calmer when I'm a coach than I am in the stands because I know that those girls are looking at me. I know that their parents are looking. You know what I mean? You feel like more of a sense of an obligation. So do you feel like it starts with those coaches setting the tone?
I do. I think that so one of the problems that I see is that we feel as parents, coaches, just as a society, that winning defines success, right? So even at the youth level, I mean, if you'd look at some of the rec programs and things like that, we're putting the standings up. We're putting the playoffs into play. And not that those things are wrong, but that doesn't define how successful each kid is. So I think to answer your question, I think it is the coach's responsibility to kind of set the tone and educate the parents. I think one of the things that I did well, and not to kind of toot my own horn, but when I was coaching an AAU program, like I made the parents buy into almost a losing culture. And that's a hard thing to do. And not to say that we were out to lose, but I wanted them to understand that failing and losing was okay because it gave us so many lessons. So it was a process for me to kind of teach them that success isn't defined by our winning, but it was defined by just how well the kids are developing. And every tournament that we went to, you know, we were getting compliments of how well those kids were, you know, developing from, you know, from tournament to tournament.
Okay. And I want to, sorry, right fast, Julie, because I feel like, so I'm in the travel ball world as far as baseball is concerned, and we don't travel that far or whatever, but I feel like AAU was like, that's what started it all back in whenever, I mean, I feel like it was almost like the 80s. Like when I was growing up, like if you were on an AAU team, it was a big deal. Did that kind of set the tone for the rest of this whole crazy travel youth sports, whether
monetizing,
it's soccer, monetizing all the things? Yeah.
Well, I think that there's, I mean, anytime that you introduce money into it, I think there's always going to be that thing that's going to make things a little bit more difficult. But I think just in general, I think what happened is not just to put it all on AAU. I think that the upper levels of travel ball or AAU were once a position of, hey, you are really, really good at what you do, and we want you to play here. It later got watered down to, okay, my kid didn't make the team, so I am going to start a team over here. Yep. And once you have that happen, then you have a bunch of parents and individuals that may not have the best interest or may not have the best ideas of how to go about development. And it kind of I don't know, taints everything that goes down from there.
Yeah, and they're we're signing contracts. Like, what are we doing? We're having 9-year-olds sign soccer contracts. Like, it's really, really weird to me still. And it's been around for a long time. But I mean, I'll see like my friends, and I know it's a big deal. We don't do soccer, but it's a big deal in the soccer world. Like, it's signing day. And I'm like, oh shit, she's already in college. Oh no, she's not.
She's nine.
Like, what are we doing? So it's just, you know, I don't know. I feel like we're just spiraling, and it's how do we stop?
I'll give you. So what I realized is it has less to do about sports than it has to do with everything or every person wanting to put their stamp in society. Right. So I often use the example of, if you take the luxury brands of BMW, the luxury brands of any of those, Gucci, Louis, whatever the case may be, many people buy those things because they feel like it puts them on a higher level in society. Mm-hmm. And I think sports does the same thing, right? So I think that there's parents that feel like they're wearing Gucci when they say that, hey, my kid plays for this team. Or they feel like they're wearing Louis when they say, hey, my kid is going to this school. And I think that's more of the detriment than anything, right? Because sometimes we're not put in the best position, our kids in the best position, because we're more interested in having the ability to wear a Duke sweatshirt opposed to I won't mention any other college, sure, because you know what I mean? So I think that as coaches, as parents, as directors, as, you know, any of those roles, we just want our stamp in society and not really taking the best interest of the kids into mind.
And it's crazy that so much of it comes from sports as opposed to academics.
Yeah.
You know, yes. And I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guilty of that. It's not like I'll be like, oh, you know, nobody's asking me like, oh, how was Henry's report card this 6 weeks? It's always like, how did his game go? It's, you know, maybe we should start printing T-shirts with our kids' report cards on the front.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
bring back the honor roll bumpers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's just, I just do feel like we just are teetering on this, you know, this level of insanity in terms of our kids' sports, and how as adults, which is so crazy that we're finding our worth based on what our 11, 12, 13-year-old can do on a football field or a basketball court or whatever.
Of
like,
course.
It's so cringy. It's so cringy.
It is. It is.
But I do feel like there's more people like you. And we had Jeff Francoeur on. I don't know if you follow Jeff.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. We had Jeff Francoeur on. And I feel like there are more parents that are seeing it, you know, kind of from our generation, that are like, okay, it doesn't have to be this intense. It doesn't have to be
like someone's got it
this way. So I
slow it down.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm grateful for people like you and Frenchie and people like that are, you know, educated, intelligent, have been through these experiences and can kind of, you know, reflect back on the rest of us to give us some perspective.
Absolutely. And I think that's, for me, that's the reward, right? The number of parents that I've had come up to me and say, hey, I listened to you speak about, you know, behavior. I listen to you speak about the pressures. I listen to you speak about whatever it is that they've heard me speak about. I've had them come back to me and tell me, hey, after reading that or after seeing that, I had to check myself and I had to tone it down. And I think that is a win-win in itself, because not only does it put the parent in a place where they can kind of enjoy the journey a bit more, but now the relief that it takes away from that kid is something amazing. You know, then I've had a parent tell me that, you know, after hearing, you know, one of my conversations, they went home and they actually apologized to their kid, and the kid had, you could see the relief just fall off of their face. And it's those type of moments that are actually rewarding to me, at least.
That might be the one that I was reading about on your Instagram. It was like the little girl that was playing basketball, and the mom was yelling so much from the stands that it was almost like paralyzing the little girl. Every time she'd hear her voice, the mom thought she was being encouraging, and the girl heard it and just kind of would shut down because it was all that she could hear. And I think that happens so much. And everything we're talking about here in the pressure that these parents put on and to be on this club or to do this or to do that, and we're paying attention to sports and not report cards and all that. Like, how much do the kids feel that? And how detrimental
they feel it.
Can that be to a little child that's just trying to go out, have fun, and learn a new skill?
They feel it. They feel it. And I think that as parents, we don't really understand how much of it that they feel. I'm in a very unique position because I treat all of the kids that do come in to train almost as my own kids, right? So the conversations that we have, I understand that some of those conversations they can't have with their parents, or they don't feel comfortable having with their parents. So the things that they tell me in regards to the pressures that they feel, how they don't want to let their parents down. And these aren't just young kids. These are college age kids. So when you think about the, and I want to be sensitive to it, but when you think about the college athletes and some of the things that we've read in the news over over the last couple years, these are college kids that are afraid to speak to their parents because they're afraid to let them down over the sports that they've chosen to play. And it's a real eye-opening conversation that I've had with many of them, actually.
And I feel like, you know, I'm so grateful for sports. It's, you know, it's been a career for me personally. For my kids, I love the lessons that it teaches them. I love the fact that you have to learn how to fail. You have to learn how to fail with grace. You have to learn how to win with grace. You have to learn how to work hard. So many great lessons can be found in sports, and especially in team sports. And I feel like one thing that I've tried to do, really tried hard to do, because my kid's an internalizer, and he's one of those kids. He wants to make everybody proud and everybody happy. And so trying to shift that focus where I will make a huge deal about his body language, or how I noticed he treated a teammate, or how he handled something when shit didn't go his way, when he threw an interception, when he didn't get the start at quarterback, but his buddy did, and how he handled that. Like, I've tried to make like a really big deal about those things and less about like, oh, great pass on third and two or whatever.
Absolutely.
And I think I think every kid's different, right? Every kid's motivated differently. Yeah. Every kid handles situations differently, but I feel like making a big deal about stuff like that, like an attitude or the way you treat people, the way you, how you handle your coaches, your teammates, when you screw up, when somebody else screws up or whatever, all those things are so valuable, not just in that moment in time and in those games, but in life. Like Julie and I are a team. There are times when I drop the ball and I need her to show me grace and vice versa. And, you know,
I think there's two points that you made that are critical for parents to understand. The one is about the lessons that sports teaches us. And the sad part about it is that I think we're in a direction where we're stripping away some of those lessons that sports teaches, because we're only focused on the destination. I've seen so many kids that are afraid to do things because of the consequences that come with them, right? And I think that that is a big part of sports in general. We have to be able to have no fear in trying something in order to realize, okay, that doesn't really work. I got to figure out how to do that. So the lessons, I think, that we're kind of stripping away from the kids for the sake of winning the game. The second part of that is I heard Gary Vee say one time, and he says that he was at the store or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. And he opened the door for a woman, and his mother treated it like he just won the Super Bowl. And from that moment, he was able to, he was always striving to get that feeling again. And I think that's where we as parents can do a better job of helping our kids. And you just hit it right on the head when you said, hey, it, not about necessarily the third and two, but what was your body language? How did you treat your teammate? How did you handle that situation when your buddy got the start? Those are the things that we need to overvalue and overemphasize in order for them to understand that those things are okay and understand that those are actually the things that they should be striving for.
It's so interesting because it seems like parents could really, like all parents in sports could use some coaching and none of them really, of course, none of them really get it. And none of them really, unless they go out and seek it. Right. And now that's kind of, that's what you're doing. And so that's what we want to help you spread the word about. So if people want to find you, and I know you have like the eBooks and you have things that people can read, some resources, if they're listening to this conversation, maybe they want to reach out to you directly. How does all that work with your business? And do you do like one-on-one consultations? Do you talk to kids? Do you talk to parents? How does it all work?
So more recently, I have been talking to parents kind of one-on-one. I've gotten so many messages and so many DMs from other parents that resonate with the things that I'm talking about. The things that they're doing that they didn't realize were harmful. So those messages are, I realize that I'm doing something that's needed. I think the biggest reason that I do it is because one, I just realized that there's no handbook or, you know, youth sports for dummies out there that, that we can read to kind of give us the answer. So just giving or just sharing the experiences will definitely help somebody that doesn't really realize that other people are going through the same thing. So Instagram is the best way. Take Flight Coach is the best way to reach me. But of course, I'm anywhere on the social media world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gary, this has been an awesome conversation. We appreciate you so much. And I think, you know, like you said, one of the biggest things is parents being willing to realize and understand and be open-minded to the fact that what they're doing may not necessarily be beneficial and be helpful to what they're actually trying to get out of their kid. Like,
absolutely.
Okay, you want them to be really great, so let's not yell at them every effing day. You know what I mean?
Destroy their confidence.
Exactly. So
yeah, let's not say that we're going to take away their phone if they don't get that home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Gary, thank you so much for being with us. We truly appreciate it. Best of luck. Enjoy Puerto Rico. Is it Puerto Rico or Costa Rica? What'd you say?
It's Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
That'll be fun. Yes. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, and we end every episode. We throw up the peace signs, as cheesy as it is. Look in the camera and we say mom game out. So on the count of three, we'll throw up the peace signs. You ready? One, two, three. Mom game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.